just because I talk about money all the time doesn't also mean that I am consistently investing and have done so since I was 16 and now have enough for a house deposit.
Welcome to the One Up Project.
Money is fuel that allows you to do things. It doesn't need to be taboo.
What you don't want to do is wake up at 65 realizing you did something you hated and have regret.
Go and find people who will give you advice for nothing.
This is a space for personal growth and money chat with new perspectives every Monday.
This bit of content, listening to this, is going to be a small little breadcrumb of something that makes you think a little bit differently.
For all the things we were never taught but should have been.
At the end of the day, the most important person is yourself, and if you're not happy with your own choices, then you're never going to be happy.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the One Up Project podcast. This is a bit of a two-in-one today, a two-in-one because I haven't updated you guys for so long in terms of what the hell I'm doing, where the hell I am, and how it's all been going, I guess. But this is an annual episode I do, usually at the start of every year, talking about what I have learned about investing with another year of experience, with another year of wisdom, with another year of insights, hopefully, and reflection for you all. And this is nothing different of the previous years. I have got many more reflections for you. Of course, they're never the typical reflections. They're always usually along the lines of how my investing strategy has changed, why it has changed, and how that is reflected in the things I now invest in. But I thought this time I would do it a little bit different, where I actually let you know how much I have invested in all of my investment accounts. So my Sharesies, my Hatch, I've also just started a Kernel, and tell you what money I have in each of those and how I am contributing or no longer contributing to them anymore. So for the last year, things have been reasonably unstable. And then reasonably stable. So I came back from traveling Southeast Asia in January last year. Yes, January last year. And then was still working in that same job I was in at the end of my travels. A few months after I moved back to Aotearoa, I moved down to Tauranga and started to build a life down there, which I loved so much. And for the last year, I have been in a completely different income structure than I have been in previous years. So last year's reflection was more on a combination of both being unemployed and employed at a company and the kind of like transition of those two things. And this time it is the journey of being self-employed, working as a contractor or freelancer, however you want to call it, in a self-employed capacity rather than an employed capacity. So of course that means I don't get contributions to my KiwiSaver anymore. I don't get sick pay, I don't get annual leave. There's a lot less certainty and security in so many ways, and a lot more security and certainty that I need to provide for myself. And so my investing strategy is of course so intrinsically tied to that. And it also needs to be a lot more intentional, especially with things like KiwiSaver. Am I making sure that I am investing enough to get the government contribution every year? That is something that at a minimum I always make sure I can do. And you actually only need to be putting in just over $20 a week, every week of the year, to get the maximum government contribution. So if you work in a job and you get a standard salary, probably even minimum wage, you are most likely hitting that. So on the 14th of February this year, Valentine's Day, I decided to embark on the real digital nomad life, and I've come up to Australia to start that with the goal of eventually landing in Spain and getting a digital nomad visa there. I currently have an income. I work 25-ish hours a week for a marketing agency, and I am a marketing and communications manager there. But I'm trying to transition that career, and I want to move out of traditional marketing and more into product marketing. If you've worked in tech, you'll probably know what product marketing means, but if you haven't, you might think I mean marketing products. But what I actually mean is working on how you can create a better connection between the customer and the business through empathizing and understanding that customer better, all things I have loved doing in previous roles and want to make my full-time gig. It's kind of similar to branding or a brand manager role if you were to work inside an e-commerce business, for example. So I have that consistent income up until probably next month, and then that disappears. So I feel so grateful to have had the opportunity to work there and experience that truly remote culture for the time that I did. And now I'll be moving on. So I'm traveling and trying to find a consistent income again at the same time, which is definitely a risk. Classic me. I don't like to do things in halves. If we're going to do something, we're going all the way. And this year's most definitely an example of that. So if you know anyone in the product marketing world or in the tech startup space looking for a really driven person, you know who to hit up. It's me. But anyway, we're talking about investing. This isn't a plug, but it's also a plug in so many ways. So that's what I'm doing. And that's where I'm at the moment. And it's all very uncertain times. And so uncertainty and risk kind of do go together in so many ways, but my uncertainty and taking risk don't go together. And so that might mean I need to change my investing strategy up, or it might mean I need to reduce the amount I'm contributing to my investments, or it might need to mean I have a bigger emergency fund, an emergency account, all things I have considered and will be talking about in today's episode. Let's go back to financial foundations. These are the things that are so important to have, the golden rules of a solid personal finance system. All of the things that you should have in place before you start your optimizations like investing. At least that's my perspective. I'm not a financial advisor. So I like to have all of these things sorted and secure before I start taking any risk with my money in the form of investments in shares, in the form of investments in businesses, even in the form of investments in myself. I like to have these foundational elements set up. And so those things include not having any consumer debt. Things like buy now, pay laters, after pay, lay by, you know the drill. You know what I'm talking about. Consumer debt, credit cards, other forms of debt pretty much outside of student loans, mortgages, that can be seen as more, in air quotes, good in investments or good debt. I actually have an episode on that. It's called Does Good Debt Really Exist? I'll link it down below if you're interested. And we talk about the differences between good and bad debt and what might be considered one or the other. So I've got no consumer debt. And then the next thing is emergency fund. It is my goal this year. It is on my goals written in my diary to, by the end of the year, have an emergency fund of $5,000 or more. My emergency fund got completely obliterated when I went traveling last year. And I've also had many expenses in the meantime that have meant I haven't prioritized an emergency fund, although that's kind of naughty from me because I really should have prioritized an emergency fund before anything else, but I didn't do that. Instead, I just went ahead and bought the things or invested in the things that I wanted to invest in. But definitely an emergency fund is top priority. So I have that goal of having at least $5,000 in there by the end of the year. I currently have $2,000 in there, I think. $2,000. So we are $3,000 away from that point. And looking on track, as long as I can continue to find an income source for the remainder of the year. So I've gotten rid of my consumer debt. I've gotten my emergency fund set up. And I also just have my personal finances under control. I know what's happening. I know what's coming in and what's going out. I use my financial planner. That's always linked below, by the way, if you're interested in checking it out. I always use my financial planner to track my expenses and forecast out what my financial situation is going to look like in months to come. So I know that I have income up until the end of next month. And then beyond that, what does my financial situation look like? Okay, I'm falling back on the savings I have for travel and making sure that that allows me enough time to figure out what I'm going to do with my work situation. All this money management takes work, guys. It takes so much energy. If you guys have been listening to the podcast over the month of March, you know that I have been collaborating with Magic Mind to bring you these episodes and have been taking one of their productivity shots each morning. I have been really shocked at how much this product has worked so seamlessly into my morning routine and has also helped me feel so ready and energized for the day without any kind of anxious feelings about work and about life. It's a product designed for creative minds, for people that think differently, do things differently, and need that energy that can sustain them over the day. I, for one, love caffeine for the boost it can give me, but I don't love it for the lows it can give me, and also for the intensity of the spike, which is why I struggle with typical caffeine from coffee. But with Magic Mind, that does not happen at all. There's no crash from the matcha caffeine, and if anything, I feel calmer, but ready, willing, and able to take on the day in so many ways as well. This is obviously an ad, but I have been loving it so much and appreciate the fact that I can take it knowing that I'm not going to struggle to get to bed, or I'm not going to feel exhausted by the time it hits 2 p.m. I can trust this product, and I think that means the most to me. When I have a coffee, I never know what I'm going to get, and that can be a little bit unsettling. If you guys are keen to try it out, I would highly recommend it, and you can head to the link in the description or use the code 1UP20 to get 56% off your subscription for the next 10 days or 20% off for both one-time purchases and subscriptions. If you're a decaf girly like me, but you also want something to help with the energy, get amongst Magic Mind. As I said, the link will be in the description, or you can use code 1UP20. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Let's get back into the episode. So I've got my foundation sorted. Now I can move on to investing. So I thought we'd take a look at what my current investment portfolio looks like across the three platforms that I use. I wouldn't really recommend you testing and experimenting every different financial platform, but as a result of having this podcast, over time, I've just gone in and tried out multiple types of platforms. I have used Hatch, Sharesies, and Kernel. I've ended up deciding that I want to invest consistently with Kernel more so than I do with Hatch and Sharesies, because from my previous research, Kernel has the best fee structure, but I would please go and search that out and confirm that for yourself. But from the research I did, Kernel has the best and the cheapest fee structure for what I'm looking to invest in, because it will change depending on what you're wanting to invest in. But Kernel had the best fee structure for that. So I'm currently not moving the existing investments I have over there, but I am just continuing to invest with Kernel, and I've set up an automatic investment, an automatic payment and an automatic investment to do so. So let's take a look at what's in my portfolio currently. Starting with Hatch, the first platform I ever invested with, so nostalgic, so special to me, because it holds the only individual company I still have an investment in, and that is Tesla, which, looking at it now, it's either always doing really good or really bad, and at the moment it's doing fine. I have seen it do better than this, but I mean, it's up 44 almost 45%, so that's pretty decent by my standards. But I currently have almost 8,000 US in this portfolio, or that's the value of the portfolio, is almost $8,000 US. So that's around 13,000 New Zealand dollars in that one. And in that, I'm investing in the S&P 500, or I have invested in the S&P 500. And as I said, Tesla. So the S&P 500 is the majority by far of that. And Tesla, my holding is only worth $444. So I've got 2.7 shares in Tesla. So definitely not a massive holding. And it's also covered in the S&P 500 anyway. So I'm actually doubling up there. I just haven't sold it because, I don't know, it always does well and I just want to keep it for the future. But that might change as I get less lazy and decide to do something with that. And then my Sharesies portfolio has quite a bit less in it. It has almost $3,500. This is a lot more diversified across quite a few different ETFs and funds. I've got Global 100, Ethical Leaders Share, Global Property Fund, NZ Top 50, NZ Top 10, which I definitely don't need those double ups, and yeah, another US 500 ETF. So there's a lot of things that could be changed, rearranged, and optimized within these portfolios, but I haven't done that because I'm not 100% confident with what I am doing and how I want to structure my portfolio. So I'm just letting those things sit as of now. And all of them are performing fine. Like, none of them, they're all funds, they're all well diversified. None of them are detrimental to my overall portfolio. It's just things like double ups and kind of inefficient investing, which I could be changing. So that means I've got around 16,000, just over 16,000 invested so far across those two. And in Kernel, I have a humble $97.67, which I have invested into the S&P Global Clean Energy Fund. And I decided to pick this investment for multiple reasons. I've only just started investing in this. Literally one auto invest has gone into it. And this is going to be my new monthly investment that I make, which I'll get into in a second. But yeah, I had multiple different reasons for choosing the S&P Global Clean Energy Fund, mostly because I'm wanting to make more ethical investments. And if you've listened to my episode, probably three episodes ago now, I spoke about ethical investing and what it truly means to invest ethically. And that episode spoke about how we should be putting our money into companies that are contributing to more meaningful solutions from a sustainability perspective, rather than just investing in companies that are trying to be more sustainable or have a low carbon footprint, etc. So I wanted to take an active investment in that kind of activity, which is why I've invested in that fund. But it's already lost value. I invested $100 and it's down $2.33, so that's excellent. But I also recognize that when I invested in this, it was a higher risk option for sure. And just based on what it is, it's probably more early stage companies. From a, you know, global company's perspective, it's higher risk in terms of the industry, in terms of investment, etc. So I can imagine that it would be a lot more volatile. And I saw when I was picking my investment, it was going to be a lot more volatile investment. And I was happy with that. I was happy to take that risk because for me, this is a long-term investment. It aligns with my values and the types of things I want to be contributing to. So now instead of investing in the S&P 500, I will be investing in the S&P Global Clean Energy Fund. So in my external independent investments, I have around 16,000, probably 16,500. And then with KiwiSaver, I probably have somewhere close to 20,000. So I've got, quick math, I've got $36,000-ish invested. And that will probably be heaps to some people. You'll hear that and be like, whoa, fuck, I've got nothing invested. And some people will think, oh, I'm actually doing pretty good. Like, she doesn't actually have that much invested compared to me. We're all at different stages. We all have prioritized different things. This is the second way I'm leaving the country on a one way. So you can see how I manage my money and where that goes to. And that's fine. There's no comparison necessary. The only reason I'm sharing this with you is both for my own reflection, so I can have an accurate kind of review the next time I listen to this about where I was at and where I'm at now, but also to reassure you that just because I talk about money all the time doesn't also mean that I'm consistently investing and have done so since I was 16 and now have enough for a house deposit. Like, as far as house deposits go, I am very far away from having one on my own, with my KiwiSaver and with my external investments combined. So I just wanted to provide a very transparent overview of what's actually happening and what I'm about to change or not. I've written a few overarching themes and lessons of my investing over the last year and what has changed. The first one is that sometimes things take time. I have not invested consistently at all outside of my KiwiSaver for the last year. Like, that investment I made into Kernel was the first investment outside of KiwiSaver I've made in almost an entire year. So I have not been doing that well in terms of external investing or independent investing outside of my retirement fund. And that is honestly because I had other things that I was prioritizing. I had a lot of money that I used on travel that I needed to pay back to myself. I used my own tax money to fund my travels, which is a really smart financial decision. I had to buy a car when I got back because I sold my car prematurely and thought, I'm never coming back to New Zealand. And then I did, and I was like, oh my God, now I don't have a car and I also have no money for a car. So that took me ages to fund. And then I also got Invisalign. So I had like $15,000 worth of investments or expenses to pay off in the year. Plus I moved cities. I had lots of like different things come up in my life over the year that meant investing just wasn't a priority. I also didn't have an emergency account. So for me, it was like, before I even think about investing, I need to get an emergency account sorted. And I was far away from that as well. So it was like investing was so out of my mind. Now, ironically, that I've left the country and I've taken more risk, I'm actually in a much more secure position to be able to invest because all of those previous expenses are completely paid off and gone now. I'm sitting at zero or above zero. I have the capacity within my income at this current time to be investing. It is the right decision for me, but I'm still not investing heaps or as much as I could be because I've got a lot of that money going towards travel. For example, my next paycheck, I'll be allocating a few thousand dollars to travel and only $100 in that month to investing. And that is simply a priority of mine and the way that I'm choosing to live my life, I guess. It won't be everyone's dream, it won't be everyone's goal, it won't be everyone's ideal, but that is simply how things are going for me right now and how I am choosing to prioritize the money that I do earn. So the lesson here is that sometimes things take time. Sometimes you need time to build up to investing and sometimes we can't do that straight away if we are struggling or we're repaying things back or we're setting ourselves up again. And that is totally okay. Sorry if you can hear the birds in the background. I'm in a very tropical location and the birds in Australia, can you hear that? Are so fucking loud. They're so fucking loud. I don't know why they feel the need to screech. Okay, so paying things off sometimes takes time. Then the next one I had was, I don't have a goal investment number. And maybe that's holding me back. So as I said, I have a goal this year to get $5,000 into my emergency fund. I do not have an investment related goal associated to my life. I do not have I want to see this much money in my portfolio by the end of the year. And I'm questioning, is that holding me back? Because for me, investing is very much not an afterthought, but it's not my biggest priority. Right now, my priority is to travel and work. And if what I earn allows me only purely to exist and to travel, for me, that is the life that I want to live right now. Oh, I feel like this is so controversial for someone that runs or previously ran a full financial literacy podcast. But that is just the truth, I guess. Like I'm not going to be prioritizing my investment account, a house deposit, things like that right now. But I wonder if not having a goal surrounding it, even a small goal, is holding me back from being able to grow it. Because if I don't have a goal associated, then it's like, where's the motivation to actually continue to invest? But for me, I also think that investing doesn't really require motivation. Like for me, investing is a habit. Like it's something I want to consistently do over time. It's not really about the goal. It's about the constant pursuit of it. So for me, investing $100 a month is great. So I suppose I've just answered my own question there and saying that, no, I don't think it's holding me back, but I do think it's something to think about if you are wanting to associate an end goal with your current actions. The third lesson is that I have had the last couple of years is a reasonably unstable income and life situation. I mentioned this at the start. So for the last couple of years, you know, I was employed, left to go traveling, semi-worked in that time, and then at the end scored a great remote job but ended up coming back to Aotearoa anyway and did that role for the last year and a half. Now I'm off again. Things are looking reasonably uncertain. But the contract freelance role was hourly and I'm sort of not the biggest fan of working hourly, but that's just how I've been working. And it means that my income changes every month. Sometimes I work the full capacity I have. Other times I'm working half that capacity and I'm not really going to know what my income is going to look like until about halfway through the month when I can forecast out the scope for the work I'm going to have to do and therefore for the hours I'll probably end up doing. So that's been a little bit hard to get used to in so many ways, but also a great learning experience and opportunity. And it does work with my life in terms of the freedom it allows me for the hours I put in and the hours I can then commit to things like this podcast, which make me so immensely happy and fulfilled in so many ways. I also moved cities, which wasn't a planned thing. It was very much a 3 weeks beforehand friend had a space in a flat open. Hey, do you want to move down to Tauranga? Yeah, that sounds amazing. See you later. And that was what happened. So my next learning, which isn't even a learning, but the next thing I've put here is, do I want that to change though? And honestly, I'm feeling more and more content with the idea of settling down in one place, having an office, working from an office. It sounds like a pretty good option to me. And I think I'm also missing the environment you have with other people in an office, like sharing ideas, collaborating, talking at lunch, going out for drinks. Like, I think I'm missing that in a lot of ways. Not that I'm the most social person, but I just like that interaction and I like knowing that I get to go and see people every day. And yeah, I don't know. I think working remotely is great, but obviously there are pros and cons to everything. And I think I'm getting to a point now where I would like to interact with more people if I had that opportunity. And so maybe that will dictate the next career opportunity I have. Hopefully that is in Europe or the UK. And hopefully that means I am able to stay in one location. That's the ideal, is that I am able to settle down in one location, whether that's working remotely or from an office, I don't know, but definitely keen to have a base nonetheless. And the last learning is that automatic payments are the best way to commit to investments because you don't have to think about it. And I don't know why I have to be reminded of the very basics of financial literacy every time I set up my financial foundations again, but it is just a great reminder that setting up automatic payments, having things happen without you having to manually do anything, will bring you so much closer to the goal and will make the act of doing something so much easier as well. Having an auto invest set up means that all I have to do is allocate that amount of money in my budget and the rest is taken care of. So I said I have probably around $36,000-ish invested right now. I am curious to see if that changes next year, and where will I be at the start of next year or March next year? I have no idea. And it's actually been like that for the last couple of years. But I mean, it's like that every year, isn't it? No one knows where they're going to be the following year. But I feel like I'm really excited this time. Like, I'm really excited to find out where actually will I be next year. And I hope it is living in Spain with a digital nomad visa. I really hope it is. But I suppose I will have to keep you updated on that and let you know how I go. So for now, it's continuing to invest consistently each month, small amounts. I'm a big fan of dollar cost averaging, investing the same amount of money consistently over time. And I will continue to do that forever. Consistency is king in my eyes, especially when it comes to investing. And no matter how much I am doing, it's the act of continuing to do it and continuing to build that habit in my life and making investing a non-negotiable in my personal finance routine. If you have any thoughts on this or you want to talk more about the platforms or any tips, feel free to hit me up on Instagram. Otherwise, I will link the previous years. There'll be three of them. Wow. There'll be three of them linked below. And I am more than happy to answer any questions, but that will give you some insight into what I've learned after each year. And they may have some more practical insights as well that I haven't touched on in this episode. So love and appreciate you all. Thank you for listening as always, and we will catch up on the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The One Up Project. If you want to find more stuff just like this, check out our other apps or follow us at The One Up Project on Instagram or TikTok. See you there. Just a quick disclaimer that the OneUp Project is an educational platform that provides information that is general in nature. There may be opinions or an individual's experience within this resource that should not be considered as recommendations or personal advice. Everyone's financial situation is so different, and you must use the information within this resource at your own risk. Please complete your own due diligence before making any decisions based on the information in this resource. I'm not a financial advisor, and if you require expert advice, then please seek advice from a professional.